Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. Today, I am delighted to welcome back fabled internet marketer Rosalind Gardner. Rosalind is somebody that I have followed around on the internet for a very long time now. And if anybody on the web can teach you how to enjoy financial freedom with an online business, or several, it's Rosalind Gardner. Her story is a fascinating one, and she built her online businesses when there was no text, no audio, video, or audiovisual tutorials. Imagine that. Trust me, try to imagine that. I was there too, to show new webmasters how to do anything at all. But, and this is a really big but, she saw the opportunity to make money online and was absolutely determined to quit her air traffic controller job, mostly because of the lousy shift schedules. So she got to work and learned all that she could about affiliate marketing. By 2003, Rosalind decided to share what she had learned about the potential for building and sustaining an online business and wrote one of the staples of my entrepreneurial library, the Super Affiliate Handbook, How I Made $436,797 in 1 year selling other people's stuff online. If that title doesn't grab you, you may be on the wrong radio show. So this book, honestly, which is something that is, when I tell you it's part of my staple library, I'm not kidding. It's constantly updated with current information, and it has become the industry's primary training manual, which teaches new affiliate marketers how to do business right. And it's on the desk of most major affiliate network managers. So good morning, Rosalind, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Denise, and thank you so much for inviting me.
I love having you on. I mean, you're such a wealth of information. Truthfully, if I could pick your brain every day, I would. So I kind of do by going back to the book. But, yeah, it's really great to chat with you. So you have got a fascinating story, and I know we chatted about it a little bit the last time you were on, but if you don't mind just kind of briefly telling our audience a little bit about yourself, then I will launch into all kinds of questions and just probably pick your brain dry. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
It'd probably be pretty easy to pick my brain dry today. It's pretty early.
And you said you weren't feeling well. You have a little bit of allergy or something.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's all right.
Everybody does. I do, too. So we'll probably both be sneezing and sniffling a little bit. So bear with us.
There you go. It'll just add to the interest of the show.
There you go.
already mentioned that I came from an air traffic control background, and as much as I really, really liked the job, I was the shift schedules were really bad. You would work until, you know, the early afternoon and then be expected to be back on a midnight shift that night, and I just found that my health was deteriorating because I wasn't getting enough sleep or exercise or proper nutrition. And so I basically started a little seed exchange site. It was like 3 pages. I had 1 page that was offering the seeds that I had, and another page that was asking for specific seeds. I was living up in northern British Columbia at the time, and so I had to be specific because there wasn't a lot of stuff that would grow. And another page that said how to get in touch with me, and it was amazing. Like, it was just so cool how many people, you know, got in touch and did exchanges, and I had such fun with that. But you know what? I wasn't making money. But the whole thing was that I realized how wide the internet was, and I mean, this was back in 1996, so it was just beginning. So it was like it seemed pretty obvious that if you could find the right thing to sell online, that you'd probably do well, and I was right. I ended up promoting online dating services as an affiliate marketer, and it was, you know, that just kind of was amazing. I mean, you mentioned the title of my book, that refers to how much I made in 2002, and it's gotten better ever since, and I promote more than just dating services now. But and what really drew me to promoting those dating services was that I was, you know, I was single and I was in chat rooms at the time, and it was just such a not a very pleasant experience. And so when I discovered the existence of dating services where you could go in and you could check and, you know, see where the people were and what their background was and what type of work they did, and, you know, like you could choose, you know, narrow the field, let's say it that way, a little bit better than just, you know, being pounced on by some, you know, whatever guy in a chat room.
Mm-hmm.
It so made sense to me, and so I just, you know, started a little website, and I promoted only one dating service at the beginning, and it was amazing because, like, I think it was the first day that the site managed to make it on Yahoo, which was the Google wasn't around back then, and it made a sale, and that was like 7 days after I started the site, like after I registered the domain and got the site online. So it was, and then, you know, that paid me $10.99.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was, you know, it was like, oh, this really works. This is very cool. So I just, you know, I kept working at it, and I found other dating services to promote and other ways to get traffic to the site, to, you know, encourage people to buy those dating sites. And I talked about my own experience, and it worked. It just worked. And, I mean, I had no sales background whatsoever, no sales experience, no business experience. I just did what I thought, you know, was right. And so for some reason, it just kind of exploded.
I know. And, you know, you wouldn't have any sales experience as an air traffic controller. I mean, how very different can you get there?
No, I would be, if I was still using those tactics, because I would just tell people to buy stuff.
Exactly. And let me ask you this. When you first started putting up your little seed exchange, were you even able to upload pictures?
Yeah, there were definitely pictures on the net, but I don't think I had any.
Oh. So your descriptions had to be very, very good.
It was so simple, though. It was just a list. It was really just a list of stuff.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I remember looking at, it was Sage Hearts back in the day. I think it's, what is the name of the website now, your first dating site?
It's 101, those are numeric, and date.com.
Right. And I remember looking at Sage Heart because it was such an odd name, and I thought, that is the coolest name. Once I understood what it was all about, it was pretty neat. But I mean, that's how long I've been following you around. So
that's a long time. And just for the listeners, that was a bad name. It was a terrible, terrible name. It, you know, what I was thinking when I chose it was Sage is smart and hearts, right? Love. So, and that was actually back in the day when, you know, there were domain names available, right?
I
still ended up picking really poorly, but. You know, that's,
well, they were so expensive, too, those domain names.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, I think it was $35.
Oh, 78. Well, my first ones were $70-some-odd dollars, and I remember thinking, do I need this? And, of course, the answer was, well, yeah. But, oh, it was expensive.
Yeah, no kidding. And nowadays, it's interesting because there was a trend there, and some people still are doing this, and it's not working that well, is to, you know, use your keywords and hyphenate, and I hyphenated. That was bad, because somebody else bought the non-hyphenated version, and, you know, just capitalizing on my mistake there. But, you know, not enough to put me out of business. And nowadays it's all about branding. So who knows? Maybe that, you know, maybe I should have kept that site.
Well, and you know what you found out while you were describing your first seed site? What you discovered was the very, very early seeds, if you will. Let's go ahead and stay in the category of social media marketing. You were connecting with people who had, you know, like interests, and they were connecting back. And, you know, it's pretty interesting to look back and see how all of this evolves realize that you were doing what is now critical for business.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that's something that I really learned over the years, is that it really is all about people. It's always about people. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Everything that you do is basically about your relationships with other people.
I agree. And that's one of the reasons people will say, well, you know, affiliate marketing, what is it and how do I do it? And, you know, they'll go on to CJ.com, CommissionJunction.com and share a sale and different things. And they're just, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And for me, and I'd like your advice on this, for me, it's very difficult to sell something if I don't really use or like the product.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that I'll read some reviews out there. You can tell they've never used this product.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so dishonest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't work, does it?
Well, you know what? It might work for a very short period of time or for those who are using pay-per-click advertising to drive traffic directly to the merchants.
Mm-hmm.
It works for a short period of time, but you know what? It's an awful lot of work, I think, because it requires that much more research. I mean, if you're talking about something that you use and enjoy and would willingly recommend to a friend, that's easy. That's simple. You just, you know, you talk about the benefits and why you like it and what you think is not so great about it and just be honest. And, I mean, the writing or talking, however you wish to, you know, to do it, comes naturally, it comes easy. I don't think about SEO. I just do it. And then, of course, using WordPress, I put in the keywords that I want to attract or, you
mm-hmm.
know, like that I want to target. But it's never about the search engines. It's always about, you know, telling people what I think about something. And yeah, I only work in niche markets that I enjoy, and it's, you know, almost always about personal experience. And some people are afraid to do that. They think, oh, I don't know anything, and that's, you know, like I have nothing to say, I have nothing to write about, I'm not passionate about anything. But I think if you know, each one of us is passionate about something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all do something well, and you just have to dig a little bit and find out what that is. And then, you know, there is an audience for everybody out there. However you choose to approach it, I mean, you can be the nicest person, you're super sweet. You can be a little bit, you know, curmudgeonly. You can be, you know, there's just like whoever you are.
I can do both.
Well, yeah, so can I.
In one sentence. But that's a Southern thing.
That's
a Southern woman thing. We're very talented that way.
I really need to have my Let Loose blog because, you know, some of the things that I could say and do were probably totally inappropriate for my regular business.
Yep.
And I sometimes thought that one wouldn't make more money than the other. It would certainly get a lot of traffic, I think.
Yeah, you'd probably have to do it, you know, hidden though, you know, somebody else's name or fake name.
Anonymously, yeah. Exactly.
Anonymously.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I want to use anybody else's name. Yeah.
Anonymously.
I'll be Oprah.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It can get crazy. I have to be really careful about what I say on my blogs because, you know, you can't always just say what you're thinking. It's just not a good idea. Especially when you're thinking something that, you know, may be strongly political or something
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, you just never, ever want to say anything ugly about anybody else on the Internet. I don't care who you are. You just
yeah.
don't want to do it.
That is.
It will come back to bite you.
Absolutely, that is such a good point, and yeah. I would be. I expressed my political leanings once, and it was funny. I had a few people come back and say, you know, I've followed you for years, but like if you feel that way, then I can't know you anymore.
I'm thinking, I did.
Oh, so that's really interesting. I can share really
yeah.
good advice and help you and do all that
right.
good stuff, but if. You know, if our views are different, you can't know me. So, but anyway, I would prefer not to have those people as readers anyway. So
I had a similar thing. I had, you know, I'm a conservative, and I don't mind telling anybody I'm conservative. But my attitude is that everybody is welcome to what they believe.
Sure.
It may not be what I believe, but it's just not my business, and I won't fault you for it.
I was going to say, I can't know you anymore. I'm sorry.
Really? Well, I had a very similar thing. This guy, and he. He was actually the boyfriend of a client of mine, and he railed against me on Facebook. I can't believe that you are alienating 50% of your readers. And I went, nope, just one, and I unfriended him and then blocked him.
Oh.
Not to worry, honey.
Exactly. You know, what really gets me is that, especially for the people who are online and who want to learn about stuff, and they get into the forums, and they get caught up in discussions like that instead of just, oh, well, that's, you know, that's how that person feels.
Exactly.
I don't have to react to it. I don't have to waste my time on it, because it really is. And I find myself doing the same thing. Like, I get, you know, carried away in a topic, and I'm just, you know, bowled over by what certain people say or think or do online,
mm-hmm.
especially. And then I think, well, that really contributed a lot to my, you know, to my marketing efforts or to my learning efforts. Not.
I know. And really, that's what it all boils down to. Everybody is, you know, has their own rich personality, but there comes a point where if it's just too personal, you have to say bye-bye, and I will. But let's get back to, okay, now that we can't speak to each other anymore, I guess we have to keep it very business-wise. So I have a question for you, because I don't know what the economy is like in Canada. You're still in Canada, right?
Yes, I am.
Is it as bad there as it is here in America?
Nowhere near as bad as it is down in the States. Yeah, we were.
It's bad.
Yeah, we were fortunate. We had banking regulations and all sorts mm-hmm. of good stuff in place. But you know, probably 90 to 95% of my market is down in the U.S. I have to think in those terms, and especially considering
right.
most of my income is generated. In U.S. funds, so mm-hmm. I definitely have to have that mindset as opposed to the, you know, happy Canadian mindset, and especially
right.
considering our dollar is going up and my U.S. dollars are worth less and less every day.
Oh, my goodness.
But I think that, you know, I can sense that you're probably going to say, you know, is it a good time to start a business?
That's exactly my question.
Yeah.
I mean, your mind reader, that's exactly the wording, too. Because, I get questions all the time, you know, what should I do, what should I do, what should I do? And my question for them is, well, what are you passionate about? What do you enjoy? What do you love?
Exactly.
But is this a good time to start a new business, in your opinion?
You know what? This is probably the best time. I don't ever recommend starting a business based on desperation. I mean, if you are, you know, so down in the hole that you can't afford $7.95 a month domain hosting, or
mm-hmm.
to buy a domain for actually nothing, because if you sign up with Bluehost, the domain name is free. This is not. Don't come to it from a point of desperation. A little bit of hunger is good,
mm-hmm.
right? But not, not where you feel where all you're doing is going after the money, because that's a really bad
right.
place to start from. You really need to start from the. Perspective that you want to help people, right? And that
mm-hmm.
you have something valuable to share with people, and that you want to help people. And actually, if you've learned new things about dealing with this economy and new ways to save, that, you know, maybe you have a totally different perspective on how to work things, and you've done really well by, you know, in saving money and getting rid of debt or whatever, then perhaps that's the thing that you should be looking at talking to people about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, absolutely, it's a great time to start a business, because people are online, they're looking for information and to help them out. And so whatever you can do, you know, to help them help yourself is a good thing.
Oh, I agree. And this is a conversation that I have, you touched on it, all the time with people who need a website, or they want me to look at their website and find out why it's not working, and for my virtual assistance clients. And in my opinion, the only reason people come to your blog or your website or whatever, you know, your sales page or whatever it is for one reason. They need an answer to a question. They're
mm-hmm.
looking for a solution to something. So is that how you would go about finding a profitable niche or niche for yourself, is to supply information or an answer to a solution?
You know, that's exactly it. When I teach my students about, you know, putting together their website, the first thing they want to do is put up a product review or a product endorsement or a data feed of products. And I encourage against that for a number of different reasons. The first thing you have to do is put up core articles. And, a good starting point is about having 7 to 10 core articles about what your topic is about. And then you start to fill in with those product reviews. And that's good from a couple of perspectives. The first one being from search engine, how Google looks at you. And
mm-hmm.
if your first if the first content on your blog or your site is about is just a bunch of affiliate links, then Google's not going to really appreciate your information or content so much. That's what we call thin affiliates. Thinner affiliates are those who don't provide any substantive content or information to back up their recommendations of products. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, those are the pages that I bounce right off of. I may land there by accident, but I don't stay.
Exactly. Yeah, just back out or close the window or whatever. And that's another reason that that it's good not to do that, because Google sees all of that. As soon as you back out of something, if you stay for less than 7 seconds, Google is going to go, "Oh, people don't really like this page so much. So, we're not going to rank it that highly. We're going to, mm-hmm. If you can bring people to your blog and have them stay for 3 or 5 minutes or whatever, Google goes, oh, well, they must have really good information. People want to stick around and take a look around, and so we'll rank that higher. We'll make that come up quicker in the search engines than we will those other pages with like data feeds and that sort of thing. So that's really why you want to think about your niche information. And in terms of finding out what people are interested in or choosing your niche, there's so many ways to do that. You can start with a big topic, like a relevant topic, or you can start with a product if it's something that you can talk about forever and a day, you know, like cars. Cars is a product, but it's also a big topic. And you'd probably want to find something a little bit narrower within that topic. And the easiest way to find out what's really interesting are go to Amazon and see what their bestsellers are. See what people are really interested in at the moment. Now, make sure it's not a flash-in-the-pan type of product. Make sure it's not a flash-in-the-pan type of topic either. eBay is another one. Go in and see what's selling. But the one that I really, really like is Yahoo Answers. Ask the question and see how many people are actually asking the question. See what sorts of pages come up on Google, right? You know, like we just actually got a new puppy yesterday, and so of course I've been asking all sorts of questions, and about proper feeding, and you get that information from the breeder, but you don't get all the answers, you know, like what does this mean if the dog does this and that sort of thing. And so when you see the sites that are answering those questions, and now those are and I go in and I spend time on those sites, I spend time reading, and then I see, oh, they're recommending this particular toy, let me take a look at that. And so I'm much more likely to purchase from somebody who makes a solid recommendation in terms of their reasoning than just a product description that comes up. Right?
Mm-hmm. And that makes perfect sense. I like eBay as well. You know, eBay to me is a very good place to go do a little bit of product research.
Mm-hmm.
So I hadn't thought about Amazon. You know, my problem with Amazon is I get on there and I spend money, so I tend not to go there. eBay, I'm safe. I don't buy anything.
Yeah.
Amazon, oh, I need that. And they make suggestions for me, which is even worse.
Well, they email you suggestions
on a
daily basis. Yes.
They do. I hate them.
They're very smart that way.
I know. It's just I've watched them again, you know, probably as long as I've been watching you, although I think you started before they did. But I've been watching Amazon for a long time, and oh, my gosh, they've got some brains there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they don't miss a beat at all.
Yeah. It's all technology. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it really is. So affiliate marketing, and this is a big question because, you know, a lot of people really don't know what affiliate marketing is. They may make, you know, the occasional $50 from HostGator or something, but they don't really look at it as a business. And I think one of the questions, if I were new to affiliate marketing, would be how in the world can a new affiliate marketer compete? I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of people trying to sell, let's say, Dell computers or I can't think of anything else other than Dell. They're huge. But, you know, there's a lot of people selling the same product. What do you tell them?
Well, I find that the newest affiliate marketers always want to start in the business opportunities market, you know, make money online. They haven't made a dime online yet, but they're going to tell other people how to make money online. And
right.
You know what? That market, as much as, you know, some newbies can do well with it if they discuss their process of making money and keep at it until they do. But for the most part, I mean, you're just swimming with the sharks, right? You're out there competing against people who have been doing this for years and years and years and years. And I know it might sound like I'm trying to say, you know, like I don't want the competition, but that's not it. You know, like, I mean, there are so many people doing this. And to make that really work for you, you have to know what you're talking about, right? And you
right.
have to keep supplying new information. And so the way to do that is to find a market that is, you know, I say that and then I think, well, I was going to say you have to find a market that's underrepresented, but that's not really true because, you know, going for the long tail is not necessarily, you know, what you're about. Okay, here's one. I do a travel blog and because I love to travel. Now, granted, it doesn't get a lot of traffic and it doesn't get a lot of money because I haven't done a whole lot with it. And now I'm starting to spool up with it, and we're going to be concentrating on RVing and camping,
oh.
especially with the dog, right? Like I might have to
write
the blog to, you know, Travels with Jasper or something like that. And so now you've got a niche that people, you know, you've got two big niche markets. One is RVing, camping, right? And the other one is pets. And, I mean, there are an awful lot of people interested in both, and there are an awful lot of people who are, like, both individually, and there are a whole lot of people who do that with their pets. And just to get in there once again and talk about, you know, okay, our first trip out and the dog is going to be 3 months old and, you know, just writing that journal is going to be interesting. Actually, I made a video yesterday of him and uploaded it to YouTube this morning, and I was amazed at the number of chocolate Labrador Retriever puppies that came up on YouTube. So I can see that people are really interested in the topic. And so, like, now I'll go in and research and see how many views the top YouTube video got and what they did and, like, you know, how long it was and do a little bit of research that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's fun because I'm interested and I know other people are interested and we'll have fun sharing our experiences. And, I mean, along with that, there are so many products that we can promote, and that's exactly what I've done with that travel blog. I've talked about my suitcases. I've talked about the shoes that I've worn.
I know.
You know, it works. It really, really works. It's fun. So I think just, you know, once again, you know, do what you love.
In fact, I think I bought a pair of shoes based on your recommendation. I'm wearing them. I think the flip-flops, I think you recommended those, didn't you?
I don't know. I'm not a big flip-flop fan.
No,
see,
these are the fit ones. They're supposed to make your legs more muscular, and they do.
Oh, the MBTs.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They're on my little feet right now.
Oh, good for you.
I love them.
Good for you. Yeah, Ed is a devotee. He, I think he's just about worn out his second pair. He's looking for his third.
I'm still on my first pair, but they're 3 years old now or something like that. And I keep thinking maybe it's time, but they're just now broken in.
Yeah.
I'm
good.
Not giving them up. They're wonderful. They really are. So let's talk about case studies. Can you give me some case studies about affiliate marketing? You know, maybe some do this and don't do this.
Well, there's a whole lot of, I teach actually a whole lot of don't do that.
Did I?
You know, learn from the mistakes of others because you won't live long enough to make them all yourself. That was
right.
A thing that we said in air traffic control. Well, actually in aviation, it refers to pilots primarily. Things not to do, I think we've covered quite a few of them. Don't go after the money first. It's got to be about... You know, it's got to be about helping people. And, you know, I think, oh, here's one. Don't, unless you have bags of money to spare, don't go whole hog into pay-per-click marketing right away. I think that, you know, if you do a little test, that's fine. See what the conversions are like and play with it. But nowadays, there's so much more value in using social media marketing. Like I mentioned, YouTube. I have Facebook and I have Twitter, and all of that connects. Every time I post to my blog, it feeds through automatically to Twitter. I use Twitter feeds to do that. And every time I upload a video to YouTube, it also feeds through to my Facebook and Twitter as well. And so it's just, and some people are really, really good. Like I barely ever go into my Facebook account, and I barely ever go into my Twitter account, but it still works to bring me bring me traffic. And I mean, some people concentrate on driving traffic and marketing their sites just through those medium, and that's fine. I mean, if you find that you can really build a community using those methods, that's great. Yeah.
Do you upload to TubeMogul?
To where?
TubeMogul.
Oh,
TubeMog. Yeah.
You know, I've used that in the past. I don't. Nowadays, I've been doing so much. Like I've got so many different things on the go, and when I upload, I use YouTube. But you're absolutely right. You should either be using TubeMogul or even better, Traffic Geyser.
Right. And see, I'm finding either one of those to upload directly to YouTube. A lot of times, it'll time out and. But with either one of those, it will post it to Facebook and Twitter. I mean, you're automatically just kind of going all over the place. So
right.
I kind of bypass YouTube these days, and I use one or the other, either you know, Geyser or Traffic Geyser or TubeMogul.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, that's just me. That's because I'm uploading so many things for so many clients. After a while, I'm sitting there going, come on. But you know, I just quit doing it that way. Let's talk about ClickBank.
Okay.
What is the best and the worst of ClickBank? I know you do a lot with them.
There's no, well, worst. I really like ClickBank. I think it's a great place for new affiliate marketers to start because people, as you mentioned earlier, are really looking for information online.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they, you know, that's what they still sell primarily is, you know, they promote ebooks and digital products. And so it's a great place to go in and easily find products to promote. Most of the commissions are in the 50% to 75% range, which is, you know, huge, especially if they're selling on the back end. So you might make, you know, if you're selling a product for $99, you'll make $50, and then if that person is, you know, doing a higher priced back end product, then you might make another, you know, X number of dollars on top of that, or it might be a subscription, so you're going to make, you know, 50% every month that the person remains a member, which is really the ultimate in terms of affiliate marketing is selling subscriptions. And in terms of the only reason I have problems with ClickBank is because of the market that I'm working in. I mean, I teach people basically how to, you know, buy my product through their own affiliate links. So, like, it's, oh, dear. You know, like, I don't lose, but it's like, okay, so they've, you know, I've lost a little bit of money, I guess, through that. But other than that, I mean, it's such a great place to start. And I wish that Amazon was, you know, I wish they weren't going through all this affiliate tax business at the moment with, you know, not allowing affiliates from certain states, Colorado and New York, and, you know, hopefully that will sort itself out because I think that's another great place to start. And ClickBank, going back to ClickBank, it's so easy. I mean, it's so easy to get a link and it's so easy to sign up, and of course it's free to sign up, and you just click on, you know, create link and there's your link. So it's pretty good. But I do absolutely suggest that you need to take a very good look at the merchant's product. I guess that would be one of the downsides, is that there are so many people uploading products to ClickBank that I don't think that the products are properly reviewed in many cases. Like, I don't think ClickBank really does a whole lot other than to make sure that the sales process works and that you've added all their caveats and whatever have you. But other than that, I think, I mean, I've been into so many where there's, you know, the merchant has their own affiliate links on the site, and that's a huge no-no. You just can't do that. From my perspective, I'm not going to send you traffic if you're going to send it somewhere else and make money.
Right, right. That's exactly
and you're
right.
not going to share.
Well, there's some homework that has to be done on ClickBank, and I learned that a long time ago as well. But I love ClickBank, and I use it for my clients a lot. Now, are you familiar with paydot.com?
I am. I have an account. I haven't used it that much. I work with a couple of merchants that do.
I think it's good for if you need a quick affiliate program. It might be an alternative to, say, one shopping cart, because that's $99 a month. Not everybody wants to pay that.
Right.
So PayDot is kind of emerging as an alternative to that.
You know what I'm using now is with Affiliate Blogger Pro, I am using PayPal to avoid all the affiliate rip-off side of that side of that thing. And what I've done is I'm using membership software by Wishlist Member, and the affiliate program, I think it's called WP Affiliate, by tipsandtrickshq.com, and it all meshes together really, really nicely. And now, granted, you do have to spend a little bit of money on the software and do a setup or hire somebody to do a setup if you don't want to do it, but it really does seem like a nice alternative to having to, if you don't mind the PayPal fees, and of course if you're paying affiliates using MassPay, you don't ding your affiliates anything on the fees, and it's very minimal for the merchant to do the payments. So I'm kind of liking that solution from a merchant standpoint nowadays.
Give me that information again. Where do I send people?
It's to Wishlist Member. And, I think it's just called...
Now, that one I know because I work in there all the time.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah, WP Wishlist.
Yeah, and WP Affiliate, but I think it's Tips and Tricks HQ, and it might be with hyphens.
Okay. Well, we'll put it in there and people can find it.
Right. I can send that information to you, and you can post it or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to. So since we're talking about WordPress, and anybody who is listening to us probably wondering what the heck WP is, it's WordPress, wishlist.com. It's WPWishlist.com. It's a membership plugin. I think it's $99. And they have an affiliate program, so we're right on track there. It's an amazing membership program. So what do you think of WordPress as opposed to the old-fashioned type of HTML websites?
I wouldn't use the old-fashioned HTML website for love nor money nowadays. I have converted everything except for, actually, I looked the other day and I do have one site that still has HTML pages on it, but everything has got WordPress technology. It is so easy. It's just,
I know.
You know,
and the plugins are just, it's like they're magic. And they come up every day. I mean, I go on a hunt. This is, most people get up every day and they put on mascara, which I do. And I get dressed and I brush my hair. I do all of that. But, I mean, it used to be that you would have, your focus was on, a lot of other things. Now I get up and my day, it's like, okay, I'm going to go answer my emails. Woohoo, I'm going to go look for new plugins. That's like Easter for me every day. It's just like this nerd kid. Ooh, with plugins,
Yeah, they do extend the functionality. I am not such a, I like to hard code. I really do like, if I can find a plugin and find a way to hard code it into my, into the blog or into the functions PHP, then that's what I would prefer to do, because the plugins really do increase your bandwidth and slow down the site. I actually, one of my favorite plugins I found out that I cannot use now, it's the broken link checker, and it's it was slowing the site down so much that it was actually sticking at times, and I can't afford that. If I want to respond to somebody right away, then that's what I want to do and get on with my day.
Right.
You're right. It's amazing some of the things that they do. I love being able to see the Google Analytics right on my blog when I log in. Instead of going over to Google Analytics. Maybe that's just, I don't know, that's probably just lazy.
No, that's pretty cool. Well, if you're like, both of us run several blogs.
Mm-hmm.
So, timing is important. We can't spend a whole heck of a lot of time logging in here, there, and yonder.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important. But the hard coding is a very good idea, because sometimes these blog plugins will break, where they'll disappear or they're no longer maintained, and then all of a sudden you've got four or five, six sites that have the same plug-in that is now no longer working.
And that you've probably added information to, and if you take that, it's like the with Technorati tagging, and then, you know, on the back end you would place in brackets tag and then end tag, and with your tags in the middle. And so I'm still finding those things on my blog, and I want to get rid of that plugin because it's you know, it's kind of useless, and I don't like to have plugins that are kind of useless sitting on your blog. You don't actually, if you're going to deactivate a plugin, you should really get rid of it.
You need to delete it. It's a security risk.
Yeah, it is.
And this, there are new plugins now too that, you know, help make sure that you are secure. And there's a new one out, and I'll send you a link to that one. It's, I can't remember the name right now, but I really appreciate it. You know, somebody took the time to create this plugin.
That's cool.
Yeah, I really love them. Now, I do build HTML sites, and we do have clients that, you know, they don't necessarily want to work outside of their geographical area.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, HTML or Flash or, you know, any of those are perfectly fine. But if you want to be online in a big way, you really, really do need a WordPress website. So, Rosalind, what are the six essential components that you have to have on your website?
The six essential components, this sounds like a trick question. Did you read about this in my book?
Yep.
Oh, dear. Now you want me to remember. Yes, I did.
I told you I have that book. In fact, I have several iterations of that book.
I still have my original one.
I printed it out. Because you know, I downloaded it, printed it out. You ought to see it. It's annotated in yellow, pink, and green.
Oh.
It's not readable any longer.
Oh, no.
Seriously, it's not. It's so dog-eared.
Oh, dear. You'll have to download the latest version. I think I uploaded last week. The six essential components. Well, I think that every site needs to have the following five pages, and that would be an About Us page. And I get, you know what I get a lot of questions about is, do I really need to have my picture up there? And there are people who, for various reasons, prefer not to either show their gender because they might be posing as somebody else or something else. You know, or for whatever reason, they don't want to show their picture. And you know what? That's okay. I prefer to just, you know, like I am who I am, and that's, you know, if somebody doesn't like the way I look because, or doesn't like my site because of the way I look, well, you know, sad for them. That's too bad. you know, or you can have a caricature done of yourself, or you can use, you know, I mean, geez, you could use your puppy, right? Like this is whatever, or just like a shadow image or something. But just some inkling that there is actually a real human being behind this blog.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is just so important. When I get into sites where it says, you know, like about, and I click on that, because I often do to see, you know, like, is this a real site or is this just a clone affiliate site? You know, are they just trying to sell me, or are they really, you know, are they really just whatever? Are they real people? And so you go in there and it's, you know, the such and such management team, blah, 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 blah. Right? And I'm just thinking, oh, and no names. You have no names. Okay, fine.
Right.
Next.
Right. Well, it used to be when I first started building websites that it was incredibly rare to put the primary people that owned the business. I mean, you didn't even put their names. You just put a contact form, and you had to kind of go through whoever answered the phone. I mean, you had no idea who you were really speaking with. And then I remember when Joel Kahn put his picture up, I went, what's wrong with him? He's crazy. You know, what the heck is that man thinking? Of course, and everybody started putting their pictures up, and I thought, well, there goes privacy.
Yeah.
And to some degree, there it went. But it used to be 10, 11, 12 years ago, that just wasn't done. I mean, it just wasn't.
Yeah, well, I had I put mine up there pretty quick because I figured, you know, like, I don't know how I ever decided that I needed to do an About Us page, but, like, I wrote this long thing that said, you know, I am so-and-so, and I, you know, I started this site because, and I told the story of how I started the site, and I think that really actually helped my helped my sales. And the other thing, of course, that you need is a contact page. And I think a lot of affiliates think that they don't need a contact page because they're just affiliates.
Right.
And that's, you know, in quotes. And And that's so not right. I mean, if somebody is interested in what you are saying and has a question for you, then, you know, your likelihood of making that sale increases, you know, 100 times if you answer mm-hmm. the question. And usually they're not going to be long, and you're not going to get an awful lot of them. So, you know, like the little bit of effort that you have to make to put together a contact page, because there are plugins for that as well, is really, really worthwhile. Now, of course, as affiliates, what we have a lot of other things to do, too. Everybody needs a privacy page, and there are so many merchants, and I would say, you know, 100% of good merchants will not allow an affiliate into their network if they don't have a page that guarantees their users' privacy. Like, you're not just, you know, taking emails and then spamming them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want to make sure that you guarantee that for your users and abide by that guarantee, of course. And the other two things are a disclaimer that basically say, well, if you think that this website broke your browser or broke your computer, then, you know, too bad, so sad, because, you know, seriously, it's a WordPress blog. What can I do?
Right.
And the other thing most recently, of course, is the disclosure page. And FTC requirements and are becoming more and more stringent all the mm-hmm. time, but you basically have to disclose if you are making money as an affiliate. So if somebody clicks through your link and purchases through that link and you make money, the FTC wants you to tell people that that's what you're doing. So you can mm-hmm. have a single disclosure page. There are some affiliates who are basically, you know, like everything that they do, like there's a little disclosure with a link to the disclosure page below every post. It's kind of up to you. I mean, mm-hmm. especially on my, you know, affiliate marketing blog, it's kind of understood if you're in there learning about affiliate marketing and you
right.
have a link and you see an affiliate link, then yeah, I'm making money. But I still have a disclosure page regardless.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something fairly new, but it is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So, quick question: what are some ways to get traffic to your site or multiple sites at, you know, little or no cost? I know, from my perspective, social media marketing is a very, very important way to get traffic to your site. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you're looking at saving money and not using pay-per-click marketing, then the social media marketing is definitely the way to go. Posting comments on other people's blogs that are, you know, well thought out, and also include a link back to your site. And usually, well, you can see. I mean, if the webmaster is not allowing links, then it's not so valuable, because, you know, nobody's gonna click on that a link that doesn't exist. And I don't worry too much about no follow, do follow. Like, that's you know, whether or not Google is allowed to follow through or give credit to the links that are on a specific blog. I worry more about people who are reading that blog and whether or not they find my comments of such value that they would actually want to spend more time reading what I have to say on my blog, mm-hmm. and am I going to get the click from that? Forum participation is a big one as well. Find
right,
a forum that
right.
is relevant to your relevant to your niche. Like, if you're working in the doggy market, there's lots of forums that are specifically for that. I think Dogster is a social media marketing site just for dog owners. And other than that, I honestly feel that the most important thing you can do for your site in terms of bringing traffic back to it is having a list, you know, getting that autoresponder and spending the $20 a month or whatever it costs, or even just starting with FeedBurner and putting your, you know, distributing it via syndication, and that
right.
is so important, because, you know, it takes effort, it takes time, effort, and or money to bring traffic to your site in the first place. What you want to do is have them keep coming back.
Right.
So, yeah, having that autoresponder or having the feed or getting them to sign up for your feed is crucial.
Right. Now, we've been talking about Google Analytics, and we're talking about FeedBurner. For these, you really need to have, for those of you listening in, if you don't have a Gmail account, you have to have one. You really need to get a Gmail account. This is where you're going to use your FeedBurner, your Google Analytics, your Google Profile, your Google Docs. It's really important. So run, go get that. And use some care when you're choosing that email address. Give
mm-hmm.
it some thought. And then go ahead and get it. You don't need to even really use it a whole lot, but you do need to have it to access these different Google tools.
Oh, that's my
very, very
homepage. It's my Google Accounts page, and you know, so mm-hmm. it links to everything from there, Reader and Noel,
right.
and everything. It's just, it's really, really essential. I'm just waiting for them to charge us, and I will happily pay.
Because I'm the same way about Facebook. You know, people are screaming their heads off, but gee whiz, the value in Facebook for me is just enormous. I'll happily pay for it.
Right on.
Yeah, I mean, you do what you need to do. It's, if you look at what it would cost you to hire a publicity firm,
mm-hmm.
and you want to pay $14 a month or whatever they choose to Google or to Facebook, say, I'll go with the $14 a month. I'm good. It's
mm-hmm.
not a problem.
Exactly. That's the same
not
with Flickr. I use photo sharing, and it saves bandwidth on my server. And so, I mean, seriously, I think I think it's $29 a year, and not only that, but I can link back to my posts from the pictures, and
right.
so I can traffic that way. And I find that's really quite handy. And we were talking about YouTube and the other video sharing sites.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the mistakes that most affiliates make when they upload videos is that they forget to put their link in the description.
Right.
You really need to do that.
I know. I mean, I see that all the time. So, well, where am I supposed to go back to see your product? Where is it?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, YouTube doesn't let you annotate away from there, but you can still get it in there. You know, there
mm-hmm.
are ways. So you do need to be aware of everything that you're doing. Listen, we have got people with their hands up in here in the chat on the switchboard. Do you have time to take a few questions?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's see if sometimes this works, sometimes it doesn't. So let's see if we can get anybody on here. Well, I hear noise. I think I just hung up on somebody. I hung up. Okay, this is Denise Griffiths, and I'm here with Rosalind Gardner. Do you have a question for Rosalind? Hello? I know they're out there. Come on, y'all.
Can they take? Can they send questions in by text?
In the chat room, yeah. I just asked everybody. This is Denise. I'm here with Roz. Do you have a question? Well, let's just keep chatting and let's see if somebody kind of chimes in there after a minute. So you have websites. Let's say we all have our websites. We want to go find a really good place to find affiliate programs. Commission Junction, ClickBank, who else do you recommend?
ShareASale, Google, you mentioned that, PepperJam, ClickBank. There are so many. AZoogle Ads, if you're looking at the CPA offers. You could just work with Commission Junction if that's, you know, because they've got so much in there. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm affiliated with so many different networks. It's amazing. And there are so many different networks.
Now, you spend a lot of time at affiliate, I won't call them shows, but, you know, just these different gatherings where you're kind of the superstar, aren't you?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
I would.
No, I would not say that.
I'll say it.
There are so many really good affiliate marketers out there who teach. I primarily go to, last year I went to a few, but primarily go to the Winter Affiliate Summit in Vegas and the new affiliate convention that just started about a year ago. They used to do all the other ones, the gaming ones, the casino ones, and the dating ones. They still do those, but now they're doing a straight affiliate convention. And last it was December actually in Denver, and that was in Los Angeles. And the summer one was in Denver. And what's cool about mm-hmm. that one is that it's free for affiliates to go if you get a merchant sponsor. And I mean that's really easy to do. So something to consider if you don't want to spend, you know, a lot of money, or a lot of new people say, you know, is it really worthwhile for me to go to a convention? And you know what? Well, I think when you're just starting out, like if you're really just starting out, I think that one of those things is probably a little bit overwhelming, unless you happen to learn really well in that particular mode. I would wait until you've worked a little bit. I know Affiliate Summit doesn't do a whole lot of beginner stuff. So, So if you can get into something that's free, and there's so many different conventions and seminars and things that you can attend for not a whole lot of money. So you don't necessarily
right.
have to go one to one of the big ones.
Nice.
And if Sean Collins is listening to this, you know that I love at your convention.
Hi, Sean. Okay, now we've got more people popping up in here. Let's see. We just had somebody in the chat room say, "You can't hear me. I'm talking.
Aww.
You can't hear me." And then here a new number popped up. So let's see if anybody can kind of join us here.
Oh, are they not supposed to press 1?
I don't know. Is anybody muted? Have you muted yourself?
Yeah, I think if you want to get in the queue, you have to press 1. That's what the thing said to me.
Okay. Well, this is Denise, and I'm here with Rosalyn Gardner. Can you hear us? Hello? I'll be darned. And, you know, I can hear them.
Oh. Well, if you can hear them, then they should just say what they need to or
yeah.
ask the question.
Does anybody have a question? Now, I can hear people. It's the craziest thing.
Or get on your Twitter account and, you know. You can go to my
well,
Twitter
I am
account.
So sorry.
I can log into Twitter, and if you want to go to Rosalind Gardner and just do an at Rosalind Gardner, I can probably, I'll pick that up
yeah.
and get the question.
See, well, darn.
I do use Twitter sometimes.
You know, have you started doing any tweet chats?
No, but I keep thinking about it. I would really like
mm-hmm.
to. Yeah.
I started one recently for virtual assistants industry. It's crazy. I mean, it's just amazing. You have to be quick. You have to be on top of that keyboard, but it's amazing that you know you get to meet some wonderful people, and there's a lot of information that comes out of these things.
Yeah, and you know, I learn so much by answering questions. It's
mm-hmm.
it's amazing. I love that. No, I'm just trying to go here. I guess if I went to home.
I'm asking in the chat room if they can hear us because we have a lot of people on the switchboard and they want to get in. For some reason, they can't hear us.
Okay. Well, once again, I'm on my Twitter account, and so if you do an at Rosalind, R-O-S-A-L-I-N-D, Gardner, that's G-A-R-D-N-E-R, and you want to send me an at Rosalind Gardner question, I'll be here for as long as we're on the line.
Yeah, well, we've got, you know, not much longer. We've got about 5 or 6 more minutes, but still, it's really kind of disappointing. We had so many people with their hands up, but hopefully after the show, they can always email me at info@virtualassistantindustry.com, and I can just pass those on to you, or if you feel like giving out your email address, you can certainly do that.
Or we can, we might just have to do a follow-up, answer the question.
I think so. Actually, I love that idea. So, listen, you are one of the writers for Revenue Magazine.
Not anymore.
No,
I did that for 3.5 years, and then they changed their format completely. And basically, yeah, like all the regular writers left, as well as their editor. Yeah, no, that's fine. I put an article for Free Feed Front last. This latest issue is coming out is out now with an article of mine. And yeah.
Nice. Well, you know, that's a magazine that I hadn't picked up in a while, so it just kind of popped into my head that, you know, I knew you used to write for them.
Mm-hmm.
So who all, let's talk about affiliate marketing again very quickly, and I think you're right. I would love to have a follow-up show where we can put out a poll or, you know, question and answer and get as many question and answers and we can get them answered because this is a very important topic. You know, people do need to find out if this is for them, if they can make a living online or at least supplement their income online. Can they take their passion and their love of whatever it is? Like you said, you have a new dog. I just posted in the chat room, I have a domain called Pet Goodies and Gifts that I'm doing nothing with, so I'm getting ready to sell it. So, you know, there's so many different things that people can chat about, and we do, and there are corresponding is telling us we have 60 seconds, and there are corresponding products that we can talk about on our blogs and, you know, our Facebook and different things. And I think right now this is a really important topic because so many people are saying, well, you know, I may not want to go back into the job market. I may want to take my 401k or my golden parachute and just do what I want to do for a change.
Exactly.
And I think this is something very important for them.
It's so much fun. Working at home is so much fun.
It is. I'm unemployable. I can't work for anybody
else. That makes two of us.
It's never going to happen. But, you know, in these days, I mean, everybody has a computer. Everybody has a passion or two or six. Why not do something with it?
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
Yeah, let's go ahead and schedule a call if you don't mind.
No, that'll be great.
So basically, anybody, and I'm looking at your book here, anybody, you know, who would affiliate marketing suit, and the list is incredible. So I put that into, Rebecca says she can't hear us either. I put that into the chat room, so everybody on the call and everybody who will listen to it, you can go to www.superaffiliatehandbook.com
and
take a look at that.
There's another option too. I have a multimedia version of the Super Affiliate Handbook out now too. It's affiliatebloggerpro.com.
Okay.
Yeah,
affiliatebloggerpro.com. Alrighty.
Yeah, so it's multimedia. Like, I've got videos and answer questions, and we've got a forum, and it's really quite active. It just started 5 weeks ago, and we're having so much fun with it. It's great.
I am heading over there. Is it a membership site?
It is, and
it's the whole
WordPress wish list member. Yeah, it's very it's very cool.
Perfect, perfect. Well, I see some notes in here. It says we can't hear you, and then somebody else says, you know, on the phone, see, you know, people who had their hands up on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else said, thanks, Denise. We'll go back and listen to the part that I missed. So
all right.
We did try. We absolutely did try. So let's, when we get off the phone, we'll get together and schedule a follow-up call and get some real questions and some real answers prepared.
That sounds great.
And everybody that's listening, go to affiliatebloggerpro.com. And you can meet up with Rosalind on Twitter. It's twitter.com. And what is your?
My name, Rosalind Gardner.
Okay. And there we go. All righty. Well, thank you so much for being here. I mean, I just love chatting with you because I always come away with just great new ideas.
Well, thank you, Denise. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
It's always fun. Well, listen, Rosalind, you've given us some really valuable information, and I know everybody that was listening or will be listening, you know, as time goes on, appreciates it as much as I do, and we will set up another call. And thank you, everybody, for being here. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Rosalind Gardner wishing you a wonderful weekend and a happy spring, and I will see you next week. Thank you. Bye.